The title for today's sermon is The Cost of Following Jesus. Now, right away, that sermon title could easily be misunderstood. Please understand, the forgiveness and eternal life that Christ gives us costs us nothing, absolutely nothing. Salvation is a free gift from God. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. Jesus gives it to us as a gift. It comes as a gift that costs us nothing. However, receiving these gifts of salvation by faith means that we are God's children who get to live for Him in this world. And living for Jesus in this sinful world does come at a cost. Living for Jesus in this world will mean personal sacrifice. However, the benefits of living for Jesus far outweigh the trials and persecutions we may have to face as we live for Him in this world. With that said, today's gospel reading begins with these words. As they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Now, what's going on here? Why does Jesus give such a strange answer to someone who says that he is willing to follow Jesus wherever he goes? Well, where is Jesus going? Luke 9:51 tells us, "As the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem." I talked about this verse last Sunday. Here we see that Jesus will ascend to heaven after his resurrection, but before that happens, he will go to Jerusalem so he can be nailed to a cross, where he will suffer and die in our place of damnation. As Jesus continues to proclaim this message that he will suffer and die for our sins, more and more people are rejecting him and want nothing to do with him. Rather than people welcoming Jesus into their homes because they believe his preaching, many refuse to offer Jesus any hospitality whatsoever. As Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Jesus is reminding this man and us that following Jesus and living for him in this sinful world is no guarantee that life is going to be a bed of roses. This man maybe thought, "I will follow Jesus wherever he goes, and of course he's going to go to Jerusalem, he's going to wipe out the Romans, he's going to set up an earthly kingdom, and if I follow him, life will be good. Easy street from now on." Well, Jesus wants to make sure this man isn't deluding himself. Jesus wants to know that following him doesn't mean that suddenly everything goes perfectly. In fact, the opposite may be the case. As Jesus said in our reading from Matthew, there may be times when we will be persecuted because we follow him. Our readings from 1 Peter also make that same point. My friends, Jesus does not want us to have any delusions about what it means to live for him in this world. You know, there are Christians in other nations around the world right now that know very well the cost of following Jesus. In some nations, Christians are second-class citizens at best, or persecuted and killed at worst. Now, even though we American Christians might not yet have to face death for following Jesus, we are finding that being faithful to Jesus in our culture also, more and more, comes with a cost. In the United States, there are people who ignore Christians, who mock Christians, and even hate us Christians because we follow Jesus and proclaim the truth of his kingdom. Living for Jesus does come with a cost. But it's worth it, my Christian friends. You see, whatever persecutions or trials we may endure as we live for Jesus in this world, they simply mean nothing compared to the forgiveness, the love, and the hope of eternal life that Jesus has given us. In fact, we should pity the unbelievers who persecute us, and we should actually pray for them. You see, the unbelievers have no hope as long as they refuse to repent of their sin and see no need for Jesus. The next part of our gospel reading reads as follows. Jesus said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." So what's up with this? Jesus sounds so unreasonable. I mean, all this guy wants to do is first bury his father. Why does Jesus seem to refuse this reasonable request? Well, please understand. Jesus is not teaching that if you want to live for him, you can't plan a funeral for a close family member. For example, back in 2009, I took a week off from being a pastor so that I could attend to the funeral for my father who had passed away. Jesus doesn't condemn me for that, and he doesn't condemn you either for planning funerals for your loved ones. So then, what's going on here? Well, please notice that Jesus does not say that this man can't go and bury his father. Instead, what Jesus says is this. He says, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Now, what does Jesus mean by this? Well, first, when Jesus mentions the dead, he's actually referring to the man's family. But why does Jesus call this man's family the dead? He calls them the dead because they are spiritually dead. In other words, this man's family are unbelievers. They have rejected Jesus and his preaching. Jesus knows that this man's family will tempt him to reject Jesus as well. In fact, this man's family probably thinks that this man's father has the hope of heaven because he was good enough and obeyed God's laws well enough. They do not see their need to confess their sins and trust in Jesus for salvation. They do not believe that Jesus is their only hope in the face of death. So Jesus essentially says this to the man. Let me paraphrase Jesus. "Let your family reject me and preach false teaching at your father's funeral if that's what they want to do. But I want you to speak the truth in love. I want you to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins through faith in me. I want you to proclaim the kingdom of God." Simply put, Jesus wants this man to proclaim the kingdom of God to his unbelieving family rather than affirming their unbelief. You see, even though God wants us to love our family, God is also very clear that we should not love them more than him, especially if they're unbelievers. In other words, we should not let our unbelieving family members or friends influence us and keep us from following Jesus. Instead, we should do our best to influence them by speaking God's truth in love to them. Now, of course, living for Jesus when your family or friends reject Jesus comes with a cost, doesn't it? Your unbelieving family and friends may ignore you, or worse yet, they might even resent you for what you believe and how you live. At the very worst, they might even persecute you or kill you. For example, former Muslims who now believe in Jesus can tell you how their unbelieving families have disowned them and even want to kill them. But, as a former Muslim and a new believer in Jesus once told me, he said, "Pastor, even though my earthly family has rejected me, God has given me a new heavenly family that will love me forever. You see, even if our unbelieving family and friends resent us or reject us because we follow Jesus, we do not despair, because when Jesus saved us, he gave us a new family, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We who believe in Jesus are blood relatives, because the blood of Jesus has rescued us from a life of unbelief and brought us into the family of God, a family that will love us for all eternity. Finally, let's hear the last part of our gospel reading. Still another said, "Jesus, I will follow you, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Once again, Jesus sounds so unreasonable. Is Jesus saying that if we believe in him, we must cut all ties with our family and not even say goodbye to them? Of course not. God's word teaches that we should honor our mother and father. God's word teaches that we should care for our children. God's word teaches that we should love and respect our husbands or wives. Jesus wants us to love and serve our families. So then, what is Jesus saying to this man? First, please notice that Jesus does not say that this man can't say goodbye to his family. Instead, Jesus wants this man to understand that if he wants to live for Jesus, he needs to keep his focus on Jesus and Jesus alone. That's why Jesus uses the analogy of plowing a field. You see, when people in Jesus' day were plowing their fields, they would fix their eyes on some object in front of them and never take their eyes off of it. That way they would be assured of plowing a straight furrow. But as most of you know, you can't plow a straight row if you're looking behind you rather than fixing your eyes on some object in front of you. So very likely, this man's family were also unbelievers, just like the previous man's family. Jesus knows that this man's family may try to keep him from following Jesus. Jesus knows that this man may have second thoughts about Jesus and his preaching. Therefore, Jesus warns this man that he can't love his former life of unbelief and follow Jesus at the same time. He has to make a choice. This man can't allow his unbelieving family to keep him from focus on Jesus and living for him. In the same way, even though we might not have unbelieving family members or friends who are trying to keep us from Jesus, the reality is we all are tempted to look back for various reasons. In other words, Jesus knows that there may very well be evil things in this world that will tempt us to take our eyes off of Jesus. Jesus knows that there are many wicked things in this world that can keep us from living for Jesus. For example, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." What does that mean? Simply put, following Jesus costs us something. Following Jesus means crucifying our sinful loyalties and dying to a life of unbelief and self-worship. We can't pretend to worship God for 1 hour on Sunday and then live like unbelievers the rest of the week. It doesn't work that way. Being a Christian is a 24/7 faith relationship with Jesus that defines every single moment of your life. Therefore, as we live for Jesus, we must fix our eyes on him, because he is the only one who will forgive our sins and keep our faith alive so that we can follow Him every moment of every day. That's why it's so important to be involved in regular worship and study of God's Word. That's how God keeps our eyes fixed on Jesus. But when we push God's Word to the periphery of our lives, oh, it's so easy to start to look back. Listen to these words from Hebrews chapter 12. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you might not grow weary and lose heart. My Christian friends, trusting in Jesus and living for Him does come with a cost. Not only do we have to battle with the evil desires of our own sinful natures every day, but on top of that, we daily face the temptations so prevalent in this evil world. In addition, there are times when we may have to face mockery and persecution because we live for Jesus. So it's no wonder that we grow weary and lose heart. I know I do sometimes. We simply can't do it on our own. And that's why we must listen to Jesus and fix our eyes on Him. Because He paid the cost for our salvation when He went to the cross with joy in His heart. You heard me right. Jesus went to the cross with joy in His heart. Because He knew that by hanging there and being damned in our place, He would be saving us, so that we could belong to Him for all eternity. My friends, this same Jesus also conquered death for you. He now reigns for you at the right hand of the throne of God. Living for Jesus in this world may be very difficult at times, but we will never look back, because Jesus paid the ultimate cost for us so that we could live as His dearly loved children for all eternity. In fact, if there was someone who knew the cost of following Jesus in this life, it was the Apostle Paul. When the Apostle Paul became a Christian, his unbelieving family rejected him. Paul used to be admired by his fellow Pharisees, but once he became a Christian, they all despised him. Paul was constantly facing suffering and persecution, because he was living for Jesus. And ultimately, Paul was executed for his faith in Christ. But I want you to listen to what Paul says about the cost of following Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes these encouraging words. Listen. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from trying to obey God's law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings. And then he goes on. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Did you hear that? Whatever the sacrifice or cost may be as we live for Jesus, it's worth it. Jesus forgives all our sins and He rescues us from eternity in hell. Jesus fills our hearts with His everlasting love and peace. Jesus gives us certain hope in the face of death itself, the certain hope of the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come, where we will live in God's love forever. So my friends, we can endure the cost of living for Jesus, because Jesus paid the ultimate cost for our salvation when He died for us on the cross. Amen.